Blog Talk Radio.
Who's that lady?
Anna!
Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show.
Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Rand McCoy!
Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show.
Persuasive, she's passionate, and she's got one purpose, to help you live an incredible life. Anna McCoy is a life coach, financial educator, author, entrepreneur, and inspirational speaker. She'll give you the real answers to tough questions. And now, your host, Anna.
The Real McCoy.
Well, welcome to The Real McCoy Show today on Blog Talk Radio. We are so excited. We have several guests that will be joining us on today's program. All month long, we have been challenged within our organization, Woman Act Now, as it relates to our health and our financial fitness. This month's topic has been healthy, wealthy, and wise. And we're going to continue in that frame on today with our guests that will join us later in the show. I am your co-host, Shauna Stallworth, and Coach Anna will be joining us soon, as well as our WAN financial experts and a special guest that will be here directly to speak to you as it relates to our challenges for the month. Now, some of the challenges we've been having is that we've challenged our ladies to walk 30 miles for the month of May. And what the challenge is that we've asked them to walk at least 1 mile a day for the next 28 days or 29 days or 28 days. And then on the 28th day, which is our Woman Act Now monthly meeting, they will join us at our corporate office here in Dallas, Texas, and we will walk the last 2 miles. Our goal is to at least have a little over 6,000 or 6,500 miles for this month for all of the members of Woman Act Now. So we are so excited. We've had our WAN experts to join us, Catherine Carey, as well as Margie Stewart, and they're going to be joining us later today. And they've been challenging us as it relates to building our financial house, getting our finances in order as it relates to, are you laying up a foundation for your children? What about that retirement fund? What about the grandchildren's education as it relates to college funds? And what about saving money for a rainy day or an emergency fund? They've also been challenging us to, you know what, reevaluate your goals. What is it? Reevaluate your goals and then reevaluate your financial goals. What is it that you have in your house that you're bringing in, and what can you do to put toward that dream or that vision that you all with the money that you already have, not making any additional, but with the money that you already have. And then we've been challenged to just simply write down some financial goals. Write down those dreams and those visions. And then, you know what, write down how you want to get there. And when you write down how you want to get there, as we talked about, you reevaluate that and say, you know what, well, this is what we have coming in. Maybe I'm not going to go to Starbucks anymore. Maybe I'm not going to get those new shoes. Maybe instead of going to the hairstylist every month or every week, I'm going to stop going every month or every week, and maybe I'll go once a month, or maybe I'll just figure out what they have and do it myself. So we've been challenging our ladies to get in shape financially as well as health-wise, and we want them to be physically fit as well as mentally fit. So we want to invite you to join in on those challenges for the month. It's not too late. You can still get in and walk those 30 miles and send us an email and say, hey, Woman Act Now, you know what? I heard about your financially fit challenge and those miles that you are trying to accumulate, and I want to be a part of that. So you can certainly do that by sending us an email and letting us know who you are, or you can visit us on Facebook. Just Facebook Coach Anna McCoy and sign up to join us with those miles. So I see Coach Anna's joined us. So welcome, Coach Anna.
Hey, Shauna, how you doing?
Hi, excellent. How are you today?
I'm all right, Shauna. I'm all right. You know, I wasn't all right a few minutes ago.
Well, I'm glad you're all right.
It was really tough. We had to get some shots for our South Africa trip, and it just, I tell you, it was a mess. Okay, ladies, it was just a mess. And
it was
bad. It was not bad for Shauna. Shauna got up. She was all scared and everything, and so she got up and she was getting ready to get her shot, and I said, "You go first," and she went first, and I told her, "I'm going to leave you in the room and everything," because I knew what was going to happen, right? Shauna gets up there, gets her shot, no problem. She just teasing when she finishes, like, "Watch yourself."
I'm sorry, baby.
You know what I'm saying? And so she was just teasing, and then so I get up there. Oh, my God, the woman almost paralyzed my whole arm. I'm like, "Oh, Lord, this is really, really painful." And she was, like, shocked. She said, "There's probably, like, one in, I don't know, a few hundred that really have a reaction to a really painful reaction." And Shauna thought it wasn't me. Come on now. So, but anyway, welcome to Woman Act Now Radio today. We've got an exciting show for you today. You want to hear, we've been talking about, as Shauna shared with you, talking about healthy, wealthy, wise, and I want to spend just a little bit of time today talking to our guest who's going to be on the show with us today, Miss Alicia Ash, a young lady I have recently had the opportunity to speak with and meet through our connection on Facebook, but I'm excited about her story. I mean, she's got a story. I don't know if you saw Oprah yesterday. They were talking about Oprah saying, "I'm through with this whole diet, I'm through with this whole thing," and really trying to come to that place. And she featured another woman on the show, Woman, Food, and God. Okay, and I believe that Alicia probably has come to that place, that epiphany in her own life as it relates to managing her life, managing food, managing these relationships. But when I first heard about her book, I just laughed. I took a double take about with the title of her book. You know, I dropped 142 pounds in a year.
Wow.
And that's really, really good. But the second part of that title is, and lost 220 pounds in a day. Now, just like many of you are probably responding to that title, just go ahead and respond. Just breathe it in. Because what was so interesting about it is, just like with you, is I was like, "Wait a minute, she lost 142 pounds in a year but lost 220 pounds in a day.
That's a lot of pounds.
We need to know about this." So you're going to have the opportunity to hear from Alicia today. Also, I'm sure Shauna told you, we have a couple of our WAN experts who are going to be joining us. And I want to take just a minute just to read the first part of her bio and her story, and then I'm going to introduce you to Miss Alicia. Alicia Ash is a motivational speaker and author of the new self-improvement book, I Dropped 142 Pounds in a Year and Lost 220 Pounds in a Day. Born Alicia Lynette in Columbus, Georgia, Ash has been a featured guest on numerous television and radio shows, most notably The Oprah Winfrey Show, and has penned expositions in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution newspaper, Columbus Times newspaper, and Women World magazine on the effects of weight gain and loss and its impact on self, family, faith, and finances. Now, you know, that excites me because she's going to talk to us a little bit about both of those areas, from faith and finances. How does all this work? And I think she will be able to share some wisdom with us today on this whole matter of managing your relationships, managing your weight, and all of these different parts together. So I'm excited to have her be a part of it. So prior to her journey of healthy living, Alicia suffered 3 strokes in a year. In a year's time frame, as well as bouts of depression and spousal abuse. It was after one of her strokes when doctors informed her that she was borderline diabetic and that a drastic change in her eating habits and lifestyle were imperative to her continuing to live. It was after hearing that dreadful report that Alicia was motivated by the fear of not being able to see her children grow up, that she changed her life forever. She would go on to change her diet to a strict regimen, as well as adding exercise daily to her daily lifestyle. Now, I want to introduce to you Miss Alicia Ash, one of my newest friends and coachees, because we're going to get Miss Ash wherever she wants to go in life and start to help her to move forward. But I'm going to invite her to the show. Alicia, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
I am excellent.
Wow.
Absolutely excellent.
I'm excited to have you on the show.
We've been planning this for a little while. I'm excited about the book, and I'm really, even in just sharing your bio, I'm really interested because you touch so many areas that we're talking about today from the perspective of healthy, wealthy, wise. So your testimony and your sharing the content of your book today, I'm certain is going to bless some of these women, and it's going to inspire them and hopefully will challenge them to really begin to take control of those areas in their lives. So, again, welcome to Woman Act Now Radio. We are excited to have you, Alicia.
Thank you so much. You had me in tears just reading my bio.
And I didn't finish because I want you to talk about some of the things that you have here in your bio on this journey. So the first thing is you know, I've got to ask you about the title. Everybody wants to know about this title.
Yes, we do.
How I Dropped 142 Pounds in a Year. That's enough. The title could have just been that. But then you went on to say, and lost 220 pounds in a day. So before we get to the 220, I want to spend maybe just the first part of the interview on talking about the 142 pounds and how did you do this in a year and how did you drop those 220 pounds in a day?
The 142 is the actual weight that I lost and will not be gaining back. That was a terrible time in my life where, you know, I struggled with obesity for over 13 years. And that just sent me straight to depression because I used to model. You know, I was always a perfect size 6, 130 pounds. And to go up to 267 pounds, and I'm only 4'11".
Oh, wow.
I'm only 4'11". That was very devastating and hard on my body.
Yes.
So throughout, it wasn't a year's time. It was over a couple of years' time. My first stroke was at age 21.
Oh, my word.
Yes, so it was really hard.
Tell us about when you say that first stroke was at the age of 21, were you overweight at that time, at 21?
Yes, at 21, I was pregnant with my daughter at 20.
Okay.
And I gained 100 pounds with her.
Whoa. And so did you start gaining the weight basically when you got pregnant?
I did.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about that. How what was going on with you?
Really, I didn't think anything was going on. I thought it was just normal to gain weight when you have a baby. And, you know, our first mindset is, oh, I'll lose it after I have the baby. That's what I was thinking. But, I mean, the weight just started coming and coming and coming, and I was like, this is not normal to gain this much weight.
So was there any type of medical problem that you had as a result of that?
No, ma'am, nothing.
Nothing that would cause it, like most people say, my thyroid or, mm-hmm. you know, your hormones or something's off balance. So,
no, and I'm going to the doctor begging them. I was like, look, can you just tell me it's something so I'll feel better? Tell me it's thyroid.
Yeah.
They tested everything. They're like, Ms. Ash, we have tested everything in your body. You just need to go on a diet.
Wow.
And
What did you do? What did you think about when you got the news that, okay, there's nothing wrong with you, but you just need to do a diet? I mean, what was your attitude about dieting?
You know, at first, Anna, it didn't click. You know, because after I had the baby, I lost about 15, 20 pounds, and I was okay with that. You know, I was, you know, just married, had a baby, you know, tending to my child, tending to my husband. So everything was put on everybody else except me.
Uh-huh.
So I just kind of overlooked what was going on with me. And I went years that way just making sure everybody else was happy because I was unhappy. So I said, well, that's the only way that I'll be able to please people is just making them happy. So I put myself on the back burner. And, you know, by the end of the day, by the time we work, we take care of the kids, the house, we're tired. So we don't make time for ourselves. And that's what I put, you know, written in the book. We have to make time for ourselves because nobody else is.
All right. What are some other tips that you might give a woman, making time for yourself? What else? What else is adding to this whole frustration of being overweight?
I'm sorry, say it again, Anne, I didn't hear you.
I said, what else is adding to the frustration of being overweight?
What else added to the frustration?
Yes.
Just being depressed and miserable with yourself. And, you know, you start pointing fingers at everybody else when you're unhappy. So I think that starts to cause problems in your marriage.
Yes. Ooh, well,
when
that leads me right to something. When we think about going from, you're talking about going from 120 pounds to 267 pounds, not only did you probably have these health issues, but what other issues did they create? You talked about in your relationship.
It started creating a lot of problems in the marriage because, you know, when you're uncomfortable with yourself,
mm-hmm.
you don't feel good being with somebody else. So I started, if this is okay to say, making excuses not to have sex.
Okay.
You know, I'm tired. You know, I got a headache. And, you know, men, look, you had a headache last night. I got a headache tonight, too. Don't touch me because I was just so unhappy.
Yes. And so when you think about that, what really motivated you to lose the weight? Was it the marriage or was it the fact that you came to yourself, so to speak? What really motivated you?
What motivated me, Anna,
point?
Was the third stroke. When I had the third stroke, I was put in ICU.
Okay.
And they brought my children to the window because they
okay.
weren't allowed in there, and it was like I was waving goodbye to them. And this nurse walked back in, and she said, I brought those children to the window for you to see. If you don't do something about your weight, sweetheart, you will not be here to raise them.
Wow. Well, that's a motivator. That's
oh, yeah.
Certainly
that
is.
Was, and I started praying in that bed. I said, Lord, if you let me get out this bed and give me the wisdom and the knowledge on what to do, I'm going to take care of myself from this day on.
Wow. And so did it happen that way? You know, sometimes people find themselves in a crisis situation, and they cry out to God to help them to change, to do something, and they get up from that bed, they find their health again, they start walking and doing the things that they were, you know, they start living life again, soon to forget that promise, that declaration, that call to God. But did that happen to you?
No, when I got out of there, because it was the third stroke, because I had cried out the first time and the second stroke. So that third stroke was my breaking point. When I got out of that hospital, I was going to the library, checking out books, reading on how to lose weight, and then, you know, how not only to lose it, but how to maintain it, how to keep it off. You know, it's one thing people lose weight all the time, but how many people really keep it off? And I've kept it off almost 5 years now.
Wow. So you're telling us then, in order to do this, that you have to really begin to educate yourself.
You have to. And, you know, going to pull your medical records, I'm going to tell you, when I went to pull my medical records and I was just, you know, thumbing through everything, and every single time I went to the hospital, I was labeled as obese African-American.
Oh.
No matter what I went for, whether it was a cold or a headache, they always labeled it back because I'm obese African-American. And I said I would never be labeled like that again.
And so when you think about being labeled as an obese African-American woman, what was that saying to you, really?
It was like putting me in a class by myself. You
mm.
know, no matter what you're coming in for, okay, if you lose weight, you'll be better. That's basically
oh.
what they were telling me.
So would you also say then, did you lose confidence in the medical professionals to actually treat your condition before, or did you just kind of chalk it up to, you know, they're going to say I'm overweight, so that's the problem?
That's basically what I did.
Mm. Well, that's pretty frightening, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To begin to think about that that first line of defense or that first, you know, what do you call it, the first thing that they're going to diagnose you as is being an obese
because
American.
Of the weight. And basically that's what they do. So you're categorized by the time you hit that door. When they see you, whatever your problem is because of your weight.
Wow. And so many of us, when we think about being African Americans, we really suffer in many different areas,
mm-hmm.
from heart disease to diabetes,
exactly.
to being overweight, and I mean that's a an eye opener.
And a lot of that goes,
you know,
with your weight. I'm telling you, I was borderline diabetic, and I kept going back and forth to the doctor. Well, I was going every month because I'm telling them something is wrong. You know, where my fingertips were cold, my hair was falling out, and I just was so fatigued. And I said, okay, you got to tell me. Something has to be going on. And when they finally did all the tests again and they found out that I was borderline diabetic, and they, you know, put me on the same medication that a diabetic was on.
Wow. And so was that helping you, though?
Well, at first, when they put me on that medicine, they told me, okay, a lot of people that take this medicine, they lose weight. And my first thing was, oh, I'm going to lose weight. I was so excited about that, it didn't even dawn on me that you're borderline diabetic now. So what are you going to do?
Wow. And you know what? Basically, at the end of the day, you've got to make a decision. But now, are you telling us that, okay, your children at the window really motivated you to do something about your health? And what was the journey like, though? That's what I'm trying to get to. I want to know, what's the struggle? What were you experiencing in this process?
It was really hard at first because, you know, it was almost like a crack addict. You know, they're wanting crack, you know, damaging their body, and you're wanting food damaging your body. And, I, you know, I had to make a decision, okay, the food is not going to control me. I'm going to control the food from this day on. And once I really got that in my mind, I mean, it was like no turning back. You know, every day I was writing down things that I really like and I would have eaten to the things that would be more healthier to eat in replacement of it.
Mm-hmm. So did you feel like you were really losing out on something, or were you reading?
No, I was feeling like I was gaining life again.
Oh.
I was gaining because I was making excuses because I didn't even wear pants for 10 years. Because I
wow.
felt like I was so fat. So when my husband was having company picnics or the kids wanted to go to the park, I made up excuses not to go because I felt uncomfortable being there. So
well,
I gained my life back.
You know, I saw one of your promotional, like the video of your transformation, so to speak, and
mm-hmm.
starting from one place, you know, at 267 pounds and reducing that weight over a period of time, you could see how you were changing. And then getting to this place of really changing your mindset. So ultimately, when we think about, you know, having a challenge with weight, you know, Shauna and I both went to get our shots today. We stepped on the scale and we were both aghast at our weight because, you know, we're both saying, look, I've been really working on this and I don't understand this.
Now, what kind of shots did y'all go get?
We got the shots for our Africa trip. And so I'm like the immunization shot, so we won't catch nothing.
Okay.
And who knows what we're going to get.
No, we're not.
Nothing.
We're
not going to get anything over there. But anyway, we got these shots, and Shauna is so hilarious. She gets on there. She is totally shocked at her weight. And I'm like kind of shocked, you know, because I've kind of been there at the same, you know. But I've lost these inches, a lot of inches, but not really weight. And and it doesn't matter. I have never really felt that I've ever battled personally with weight. You know, there have been times in my life where, you know, I fully fit that size 14, okay?
Right.
And that's the average size of a woman that my size. You know, I'm 5'9", 5'10", you know, a couple of 100 pounds. And I wear a size 14.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes I fill up a 14, but sometimes I can wear a 12. You know, I'm getting real excited when I can wear a 12 and my objective, I'm thinking, you know, I'm not really going to battle with this because I do eat fairly healthy most of the time. And yesterday I just lost my mind. I must have ate about 18. No, I'm just eating. I ate all these donuts, you know.
uh-huh.
I went crazy on the donuts. And the reality was is that, and this is what's so important too, Alicia, is coming to this place because I was thinking, why in the world am I eating these donuts?
Mm-hmm.
How much sense does this make? You know, and I eat, when I tell you I eat fairly healthy, I have a smoothie, a fruit smoothie with vegetables and everything pretty much every morning, which is just great for me. I don't eat a whole lot of meat. I eat mostly vegetables. My favorite restaurant is Chipotle's, you know, and I go in there and I'll order, you know, all veggies because it's organic food, you know, and,
right.
and I hardly ever eat two or three meals a day, you know. So I was like, when I got on that scale, I said, something wrong with y'all machine because this just can't be right. But in my mind, to really think about what am I thinking about, am I really concerned about my weight? Or am I concerned about food? But yesterday when I fell off that wagon, I just was cruising. This is what got me in trouble. I was on my way to my chiropractor, and I was just cruising. You know what I'm saying? Then I was a little confused or something. I don't know what happened. But I was just cruising, and I said, well, the day before, I was supposed to, they had this big patient appreciation day, and I really did want to go, but I couldn't go because I was overwhelmed with my schedule, you know, getting out of, doing all the things I needed to do. And it just didn't fit. If I didn't make it there by 9 o'clock, and I had every intention because I woke up, I, you know, got my little self looking cute and everything, and then I just simply ran out of time. I couldn't go. I had an interview. I had various different things, and the time just took over. So Wednesday I decided I'm going to go, but I'm going to make amends. Okay? See, this is where it all starts. See, I'm talking about something, Alicia. I'm talking about these emotions. This is where the food eating started, in these emotions. And I decided I am going to make amends with my chiropractor and her team by stopping and getting some donuts. And then I was trying to, you know, because my sweetie pie, he dropped them off some donuts, and he was being all nice a couple weeks ago. So I said, I'm going to stop and get them some donuts, you know. And then I got to talking to my sister on the phone. And I said, girl, I'm going to go on over here and get me a breakfast yet. Now, I had already had my smoothie for the morning, but see, it was the emotion of everything, and I was trying to say, why am I eating all of this stuff, okay? So I rolled on there, and my sister laughed at me. She said, what are you doing and jacking about? I say, girl, because when I drove up in the drive-thru, I couldn't even remember what I wanted. Like, I couldn't remember a breakfast. You know what I'm saying? I just know I want something in here, what I told the people. You know that thing y'all got, the thing, the regular thing you've been having forever. And my sister was, she was on the phone listening. I said, girl, I cannot think of what this is. And then finally I saw it on the menu. I said, the breakfast yet. Yeah, the breakfast yet. But by that time, I knew I didn't eat that breakfast yet, but I was staying in. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't get out. I couldn't go forward. So I just ordered my breakfast yak, and then I got it and started talking to my sister and everything. And then I said, let me go in here and get some donuts. She said, oh, my God, you are getting donuts now? I said, well, they're not really for me. Not to mention them two I ate before I got out the store. And then I dropped them off at the place, and then I got to looking at them. I was in a whole conversation. I said, girl, give me one of them donuts. So I was on this donut thing, and then I went to the grocery store. I'm not finished with my donut story, Alicia. I'm telling you about my emotional breakdown. So I went to the store later. Again, donuts. I buy another pack of donuts.
Oh, no.
Then I eat about four of them donuts before I can get home.
No. Just say
well, then it finally came to me later that night, okay, you've got to give up those donuts. So
exactly.
I walked in there, one of my assistants, I said, girl, you're going to have to take these donuts. I don't have no discipline. You got to take these donuts up out of here and give them to your daughters or something. They can handle this. They need these donuts, but I don't need these donuts. But that was after about six of them. It was 18 donuts in the pack. I think she might have walked out with
you
about.
You ate six?
Huh?
You ate six donuts?
So
okay,
when
me,
you
did you, do this, you work
Alicia,
out?
And this is just kind of my little bitty story that I could probably recover from. But when you think about people doing that all the time,
right,
and it was just
right.
like a quick moment in my life, or in my day on yesterday. It wasn't that deep to me, but I realized, because I was going to be having this conversation with you too, and realized we're doing this whole healthy, wealthy, wise, and that didn't seem very wise to me.
Right, it wasn't. That
to
was
be
not
eating
wise
all
at
them
all.
Donuts. I heard her.
Wow. It was not.
All right, so I want you to tell us a little bit about how you lost the 220 pounds in a day.
Okay, the 220 pounds in the day is my ex-husband.
Ooh.
He did not like the weight loss.
Okay, now tell us a little bit about that. When you say he didn't like you, the weight loss, was it he didn't like you physically, or he didn't like the esteem and the confidence that you began to walk in?
He did not like the physical look of it. He said he's not attracted to small women. He liked big bone women.
Oh, well, who did he marry? The big woman
of you? Yeah, he met when we met. I was pregnant with my daughter when we met.
Okay.
And that's what he liked. And you know, he said, "I love you," you know, because we were married 15 years. Oh, my God. I love you, you know, as my friend and my children's mother, but I am not attracted to you anymore.
Wow.
So that's when the mental abuse started to kick in, because he would say things all the time, like, if I had my shirt off, you know, getting out the shower, oh, I need barbecue sauce to go with those bones. And, you know, it just was one thing after another every day. And I'm looking at him like I'm the same woman, just with a healthy heart.
Wow. So tell me, how did you handle that? How did you deal with that? What made you, I mean, did it just come to an end, or did it just?
It just started getting worse and worse every day. You know, it was like we couldn't see eye to eye on anything anymore after I lost the weight. We were arguing every day, and, you know, I just said, that's not healthy. I didn't lose 142 pounds of physical weight to gain 220 pounds of mental weight. I didn't do that. And I'm not going to live that way, you know, showing my kids an unhealthy home like that. It's just not worth it. Let's just, you know, break it off as friends and be happy that way than live, you know, married unhappily. I just was not going to do that.
Mm. And so now, how long have you been divorced?
2.5 years.
2.5 years. Have you had an opportunity to talk to him, to communicate to him? Is he still in that same position that he couldn't?
Yeah, you know what? We're best friends now.
Mm.
We get along well. We just were not well. We just couldn't live together anymore.
Yes.
And once somebody tells you they're not attracted to you, I don't care what nobody say. That looks don't matter, but you have to be attracted somehow to that person.
Mm-hmm.
Looks do matter, because if you're not physically attracted to them, you're going to wind up cheating.
Yeah.
Going outside of the marriage.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, especially when you keep telling me you're not attracted to me, we can't get along, we're arguing every day, somebody's going to go outside the marriage.
Wow. And so now, where are you now? What place are you in now, Miss Alicia?
You know what? I'm very happy. I'm engaged to get married next month.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And he is my best friend, my workout partner, you know. And the thing about it is, it's being happy on the inside, and that's what'll flow out. It's not about a number on a scale or what anybody thinks. It's how you feel on the inside. And once you get to that place, then that's when everything else starts to gravitate to you.
Wow. So now, Alicia, share with us in closing two or three tips that you think would help to change a woman's life who might be in your situation, who is what we consider an obese woman, you know, or may have been referred to such. What do you think you can share with a woman that could maybe be that turning point that could help her to make a U-turn in her life today?
I would say you have to start somewhere. You got to crawl before you walk. So little bitty small steps add up to results. Whether it's if you're addicted to donuts or sodas or anything, just start cutting out little bitty things and start walking, just either from your house to the mailbox, and then start adding to that every day until you build up to, you know, half a mile. Whatever you can do, just start little bitty things, and that's when you'll start getting results.
Okay.
And meditate in the morning. You know, I get up every morning and I meditate, talk to the Lord, read my Bible, because you got to have a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way anything is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And once I really developed that, that was like a missing piece to the puzzle.
Mm.
And once I made that connection, that's when, you know, things just start to work for me.
So are you saying that when you make a connection with God,
mm-hmm.
with your relationship with God, your spirituality,
yes.
Then was that a part of the foundation that really helped you to have the courage and the discipline to really see this through?
Yes, because I start feeling better about myself. You know, we go, like I said in the beginning, we go years trying to please a man and make sure everybody else is happy, and it's really not all about that.
Yes, it absolutely isn't. That's an interesting comment you made. Because on Oprah's show yesterday, she said she was talking about how her weight was really the invitation to her best life.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the voice that's saying, you can live better. You deserve
a
better life. You know, and if you start to listen to your voices, to the things that are going on in your life, and realizing that another critical piece is what you just said, Alicia, and that I hope you really share in depth in your book, is that relationship when you talk about meditation and getting in touch
with whoever, whatever that experience for you is of
right.
God in your life. You know, we know what our experience is having this relationship with Jesus Christ. Other
exactly.
people may or may not have that experience. I don't know, but that's where we are. That's where we live. And
right.
being in touch helps to, what you say, fill the void of different things.
Right.
Or not even filling a void, but I think maybe more of giving a solution.
Exactly.
Yeah, of where you might be in your life and helping you to open up. So is that, was that your experience? Did you start to gather wisdom in those times of meditation to do certain things?
Yes, and that part of my meditation was getting outside walking. You know,
mm-hmm.
that was time where I was just so peaceful, where I could talk to, you know, to the Father and, you know, hear back from him.
Yeah.
It's almost like being, have you ever been on the plane and they tell you it's in a holding place, a holding
yeah.
pattern, can't land the plane yet? And
yeah.
you keep going through that in life. Well, you can't land the plane, because you keep going in a circle. You got to find out what your destiny is.
Mm.
And if you keep getting the same relationships, the same people bringing garbage to you, you're not a trash can. So sometimes you got to reevaluate your situation, get rid of those negative people or the negative relationships so you can live in your destiny.
Right. Awesome. Well, I want to thank you, Alicia, for joining
yeah.
us. Again, Alicia is the author of How I Dropped 142 Pounds in a Year and Lost 220 Pounds in a Day. Alicia, how can we get in touch with you? Where can they buy your book?
You can order it on my website, which is www.ashalicia.com.
Okay.
And it should be in Walmart within the next 2 months or so.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, congratulations. And let us know when you're going to be on Oprah again so we can all watch you, and we'll send it out to all of our ladies. And so.
Okay. And we didn't talk. I wanted to mention about the foundation, if I can, real quick.
Yes, please do.
The foundation is called Skin Deep.
Yes.
And we're in the groundbreaking stages of it, working with the doctors. But what it is for women that lose a drastic amount of weight that have all the loose skin will be donated to burn victims.
Wait a minute. Tell me, what do you do again? I think I missed the last part.
It'll be donated to burn victims, severely burned victims that need the skin graft.
Yes. So if you have excess skin, instead of them just removing it and disposing of it, you have a system that's going to do basically donor
right.
skin.
Exactly. We're in the groundbreaking stages of it, but that's what it's going to do.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really exciting, Alicia. So let us know how we can help. And other than that, you can order her book on, I'm sure, on Amazon or on your website. Again, give us the website again.
It's AshAlicia, www.ashalicia.com. And it is on all the online stores.
Okay. And also, if they want to get in touch with you, they can go to your website, get your contact information there as well.
Or visit me on Facebook, just Alicia Ash.
Alicia Ash on Facebook. So, again, we want to thank you for joining us, and you have a terrific day. Know that you're loved and appreciated, and let's connect
thank
real soon.
Thank you so much.
You're
Bye-bye.
Welcome, honey. All right, I want to welcome you and remind you that you're listening to Coach Anna McCoy on Woman Act Now Radio. We have had our guest, Alicia Ash, the author of How I Dropped 142 Pounds in a Year and Lost 220 Pounds in a Day. Okay, we get rid of you, you know, because we don't need no 220 pounds of mental weight when we didn't lost 142 pounds of physical weight. You see what I'm saying? Yes, you do.
That's right.
Do you hear me?
I hear you.
You just need to get it together. But that's pretty amazing testimony of how she was able to really change her life, and I heard some very critical steps, and that is, if you're having challenges in these areas, take the small steps. That's
mm-hmm.
why this month is so important. It could be the thing that really pushes you forward as it relates
mm-hmm.
to taking over this area of your life, taking
mm-hmm.
those small steps, you know. It's been a real challenge for me. I actually have a injured Achilles heel,
mm-hmm.
and so it's a real challenge to go out there and want to get out there and start to walk,
mm-hmm.
taking one step at a time. The one thing that I've learned is if you put one step behind the other
mm-hmm.
or in front of the other, however you walk, I might be doing the moonwalk or whatever the case may be. However, if you do that, you are going to make some ground.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, when you think about man's ability to get wherever they wanted to go, their first tool or their first vehicle was their feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and start putting feet to your face. Start moving those feet one step at a time. Y'all know I'm just messing with you on Facebook. I put you on there. Coach Anna's feet are moving right now. You know, I have my walking shoes. These here shoes have been made for what? Walking. So these feet are made for walking. So we want to encourage you to get in step and start joining us. There's still time for you to get in this challenge, and this could be the one thing that can add or make the difference in your life to start you, as Alicia said, on those small steps. And you know what? She said you can start walking. Maybe you can't do a half a mile, or maybe you can't do a mile. Start with, you know, walking to the mailbox.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you on a video or audio, I said, girl, just put your pedometer on and start clocking your steps to the refrigerator if that's your first journey, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just put it on and say, boy, I didn't walk to that refrigerator over a mile,
mm-hmm.
over 5,000 steps, okay, because eventually you're going to get it. You need to be making a U-turn or maybe even a right turn or a left turn. Maybe then you're going to walk out the door, walk to the mailbox, walk down the street, go say hi to your neighbor or something. Because
mm-hmm.
ultimately we are going to make something happen. And I know when I first started, it wasn't that easy. You know, I was huffing and puffing. I'm still huffing and puffing. But I'm going to huff and puff my way to victory. I will not be defeated.
That's right.
Okay? And I will not be... I'm going to finish it. That's all it is to it. I'm going to just finish this race,
mm-hmm.
you know, by the end of this month. And so the other point was meditation and relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps to, I almost said, you know, fill the void, but it's not really a void. It's trying to find that solution in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, we want to thank Alicia Ash for joining us and being a blessing to us today and sharing about her book, How I Dropped 142 Pounds in a Year and Lost 220 Pounds in a Day. So if you want to be encouraged in that area, you can contact Alicia Ash on Facebook and connect with her, or you can go through my Facebook, find her there, and then connect with her. So I'm Facebook, Anna McCoy. So I want to, we've got a couple of people who are joining us today,
mm-hmm.
and I am so excited because, again, we're talking about healthy, wealthy, wise, and it's so important to me as coach of this
mm-hmm.
organization to build others up, to encourage them, to see them come into their own.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have two wonderful women that I want to share our time with today who are going to be sharing some tips, some financial tips. They are our Woman I Found financial experts, and that is Catherine Karen Gense and also Margie Stewart. Margie is from Tyler, Texas. Catherine is from the Dallas-Fort Worth metro area, and they are going to be sharing their ideas. So I want to welcome you ladies to the show.
Hello, Coach Anna.
Hello, Catherine. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
All right. Margie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, ladies. How did you enjoy Miss Ash?
Oh, that was great.
That was fabulous. That was an amazing, amazing testimony.
Yes, and so we're going to, you know, it's just so appropriate, you know, these two subject matters together. And I'm going to just ask both of you if you'll just speak up a little bit for us, just project a little bit more so that we could get better quality for our Ustream viewers today. That would be very helpful. So first things first, I got my two financial experts, Woman Act Now experts. You know, I'm in the business of calling those things that be not as though they were. And in this case, I don't have to do that.
That's right.
You know, these women, both of these women have been with us. You know, Catherine is the first member of Woman Act Now,
mm-hmm.
and the first time I met her, she was talking about how she wanted to share financial principles
mm-hmm.
with individuals and to share different strategies.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's doing that.
Mm-hmm.
When I met Margie Stewart, she was one of the first. She actually attended the very first Woman Act Now meeting that we had, seminar, and learning about it. And again, even at that moment, she was talking about her passion to educate
mm-hmm.
Generationally, you know,
mm-hmm.
and what she was doing. Now, here it is 3 years later being presented to the world, to our community,
mm-hmm.
and Woman Act Now is our Woman Act Now financial experts.
Sure.
And so we're excited about it, ladies, and we're happy that you're joining us. So I'd like to go to Margie first. And, Margie, I want to open up the lines for you to share with us some tips that you might have that can help our women this month to begin to think more creatively, more strategically about their financial well-being. Go for it.
Thank you, Coach Anna. Definitely, this is an honor for me to even be sharing with the ladies and all the our listening our audience. What I want to share with you on today is building a strong foundation. And you just think about it, as you're building your physical house, just think about you want to make sure if you purchase a house, whether it be a home or apartment or whatever, that you want to make sure that the foundation is sustained so that it can hold you in through the tough time. And just imagine if you laid some foundation, you went the easy way out, and over a period of time, and you start seeing things start falling down, such as you can see like holes in your floor, or even the ceiling coming down, and you see that it wasn't really built on a strong foundation. But however, what I want to share with you, that's the same way it is with our finances. You want to make sure that you have a strong foundation. The first thing first is making sure that foundation of building a strong financial house. That is the income replacement, which is a life insurance, making sure that you have the right type of life insurance that's going to do what you're wanting to do, just in case you being the breadwinner, you're the husband or the wife, that income is taken away from your household, and then, of course, trying to live on that income that you're not used to. And in your early years, you look at your life as a loss of income would be just devastating because you got children there, you got mortgage, you got debts, and you got their education at hand. So if that income is taken away, then that would be so devastating. So you want to make sure that you put your life protection in place at the beginning of building a strong financial house. And the next thing is making sure that you have emergency funds set up. That's anywhere from 3 to 6 months of your monthly salary, just in case, because emergency will happen. Anything could happen, such as the layoff of our jobs, and we don't have control of that, downsizing of our jobs or sickness coming along, and, you know, with the children, your spouse, and even you may be having to take care of your parent or parents. And also our legal matters could come along, car breaking down, even just to name just a few. So you want to make sure that you have money set aside for the emergency versus going into your regular obligation, your monthly obligations or income to take care of that. Then, of course, the next thing you want to get out of debt, have a plan set aside so you can get out of debt. And that money, and when you get out of debt, you want to have that money set aside for our retirement. And when we think about a lot of times we want to go on trips, however, that there's a vacation, you said, okay, I want to go on this vacation. I need to go on this vacation, but however, the income is not here. So, let's just use this money that I was obligated to pay this bill for, and we just worry about it later. But however, when you start building that strong financial house, you making sure that everything can stand just in case of emergency come. And also, you want to do things decent and in order. That is getting out of debt, finding the ways of getting out of debt, and setting up retirement plan, even for your children. Have something set aside for their college fund versus them going into those student loans, because you'll find yourself they'll be right in the mode that we was in, not knowing how money worked. We're thinking that's the way of life. When you can start at an early age as a mother, a grandparent, start instead of buying all those that stuff that they feel is important, that little cute shirt or that little cute pair of shoes, start setting aside money for their college fund, so when college time comes, they will have money where they can just write a check and pay for it instead of them having to be paying that college debt or that student loan for the rest of their lives. And then if you're looking for that dream vacation, start saving for that. Instead of just, I'll just take this money here that I was obligated to pay here or as far as you're saying, but just start setting aside some money for your dream vacation or your dream home or your dream car. And then, of course, as you're building that house, when you're putting the top on the house, there may be a shortfall in your income. So it may be you just may want to go ahead and perhaps even get a part-time job or even ask your boss for some overtime or maybe even finding a business opportunity where you can bring some more income in. Let that money be going towards your goals and your dreams. And when you think about it, if your financial house is not built built the right way, when you don't have a plan, there's no plan, then there's no foundation, you have no emergency fund, you find yourself going into or eating up or other things such as your retirement fund. You think about the 401k instead of us. A lot of us have a misconception of what 401k is for, and that is for your retirement. It's not for your now, such as if your son or your daughter is getting married. I see a lot of people using their retirement fund for that, or if they get laid off on a job, instead of them rolling that money over, they taking that money and living off of that. And then you look at, even with no plan, then you have debts you find yourself in debt for the rest of your life, and you got college fund, and then, of course, your house is turned upside down. So if you just take the little steps, the steps of building a financial house, the life protection in place, and emergency fund, setting up, getting out of debt, a retirement fund, college fund, and then you'll find yourself living in a strong financial house. Thank you,
well,
Coach.
Thank you, Ms. Margie. Build your house on a foundation instead of the sand.
Right.
All right, Ms. Margie, thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome.
I want to invite Ms. Catherine Karen-Genthe to the show. And Catherine, you've been talking about the financial challenges this month.
Yes.
Before you get into your piece, I want you just to do, if you can do a quick just recap of what our financial challenge, what our first week, this is our second week or third
yes,
week?
This is our second week,
I think, right?
Right.
Yes.
Well, Catherine would know that. So just share some of those financial challenges, and then after that, if we have time, I'm going to give you an opportunity to share some additional information.
Okay. So you want me to start from the beginning, the first challenge, or?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's talk about the first challenge, that first financial challenge that you presented to our ladies, which was starting first things first.
Yes. The first financial challenge was actually setting first things first by creating financial goals, because that's the beginning. Because when we have financial goals, it becomes like a roadmap for our money. So in setting our financial goals, we were going to list our goals, and we were going to put a deadline and a dollar sign for
mm-hmm.
each of those goals.
Yes.
Because otherwise, it's just a fantasy.
Yes.
Then the second thing we were going to do, we were going to prioritize these goals.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to then write them down, because it's been proven that when we write our goals down, it has a higher probability of getting accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other thing we were going to do is visualize. Because we talked about how visualization is really a gift, because in our mind we can see the end before we even begin our goals. And then the last thing we talked about was verbalizing our goals in alignment with our desire and our faith.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a challenge for the first week.
All right.
So
okay.
Now,
did you get any feedback from your first week's challenge?
Yes. We had a great feedback. Last call, we had two ladies talk, and one lady talked about how she had some student loans, and she sat down and wrote her goals, and one of the goals was to clear her student loans, and she came up with a system of paying out those student loans. And
okay.
She talked about how she felt empowered, because there's something about writing your goals down and even just having a goal. The
yeah.
minute it brings an energy that makes you want to accomplish it.
Yeah.
So
okay.
that was very encouraging, and I got a lot of feedback on Facebook, and the ladies from Moan emailed me as well, and they were really excited about sitting down and setting some financial goals.
Okay. That's excellent. So share with us, what was our second financial challenge?
Okay, our second financial challenge was, you know, creating financial goals is actually the easier part.
Yes.
Accomplishing the financial goals is a harder task because often financial goals do not get accomplished because we tend to assume that we'll do it when we have more money.
Mm.
You hear people say, when I have money, I'm going to do X or I'm going to do Y.
Yes.
So, and my question is, what happens if you never get more money?
Then you never do anything else.
Exactly. Then what happens is that financial goal remains a fantasy.
Yes.
It remains a pipe dream.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, so instead of waiting for more money, we need to start finding money to fund our goals from our current paycheck or our current income. So, and you know, one thing I like about Woman Act now is we are encouraged to be doers, not just talkers. We had a whole month of stop talking and start doing.
That's right, to be executors. We want to get out of the wishing quadrant or the zombie quadrant or the dreamer, the wanderer.
Exactly. We don't want to just be dreamers. So I came up with a few ways to find more money in our paycheck today.
Okay.
And one, I'm going to discuss that way with you today.
Okay.
And this way is to reevaluate every expense in your household.
Mm.
We are going to be wiser about our spending and bring consciousness to the process. Because we tend to spend unconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
We go to the same store just because we've been buying our groceries there forever. We use the same vendor in our household, the same vendors in our household, like for electricity or cable, without reevaluating whether we are getting, you know, the proper value or the right market rate,
mm-hmm.
or right market price. So we want to change our unconscious spending to be now conscious spenders.
Okay.
And to do that, we are going to go over our expenses with a fine-tooth comb. And how we accomplish that is by asking ourselves three things. Three questions, all right? The first question is this a want or a need?
Mm-hmm.
As in, can I do without this? And I'll give you an example. In my household, cable is a want. It's not a need because my husband is not a TV person. And I do like TV, I'll admit. But what I found is that if I spend my time on TV, I will not get my goals accomplished. I have a full-time job, and I have my other goals that I want to accomplish, so there's no way I can spend time on TV and get my things done.
Yes, and
so,
Catherine, I just want to remind you, we only have about 2 minutes, so so we can wrap up some of your points.
Okay, so, and the next question then is there a substitute for this item that is less expensive but just as effective?
Okay.
And the third question is, if there's no substitute, can we get the same item, same quality, from a different vendor but at a lower price?
Mm.
So those are the three questions, and you will find that once we start asking ourselves these questions, we'll bring more consciousness to our spending. We will change our spending habits, and we will find money in our current paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, our goal is really to find money to fund our financial goals so that we can make those goals a reality. And because the reality is we cannot always earn more money, especially in the short term.
Yes.
Yes. So that's what we're going to do for this week. That's what we're doing this week.
Well, thank you very much, Catherine. I want to thank you, Margie. I want to thank you, Margie. And I want to remind you, ladies, about our activities on next week, even though Shauna and I will be in South Africa. If you know anybody, I'm going to post it on my Facebook. If you know anyone in South Africa through your Facebook or whatever, and we need your help on that, I'm going to be speaking there at the Cape Town International Convention Center. It's open to the public, I think, that some people can participate in the part that we're participating. So we want you to help us to share that message.
And also, remember, I put a challenge out there to you on the financial piece is to save $500 by the end of the year. And these are some great tools that you all have shared with us in building our financial house and our foundation. And then also some of these questions that we can ask, is it a need or is it a want? And the idea was for you to really pay attention to it and start thinking about how much money am I saving? So, again, this is Coach Anna McCoy with Shauna Stallworth, and we want to thank our guests, Alicia Ash, Margie Stewart, and Catherine Karen Gente for being a part of our show today. So bye, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon. Visit us at womanactnow.com. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.